Amen. I thought we were going to go ahead and sing all the way through that. So the question is, are you happy all the day? Please remain standing for the reading of the word. Some of you already sat down. I'm sorry. Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We find ourselves again dealing with our new life. And as you know, if you are redeemed, you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and God has given you a new heart. He's given you a new life, and we are to always be thinking about things above. And so we see here in Colossians chapter 4, we're going to be dealing with one of my favorite subjects, which is prayer. Look at Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Just to remember the context here, we learned that Colossians, Paul had never met the church, but he'd heard about the church. And so he's calling them to, first of all, remember that Jesus is God in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead in the bodily form. And Jesus is supreme over all. He is creator. He is God the Son, the second person in the Trinity. And even through Christ do we have our salvation, but also he is sufficient when it comes to our sanctification. In chapter 3, we see Paul sharing with us our practice now. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and if you're born again, you have, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Someday we're going to see the Lord and we're going to be there with him in glory. So we see now in chapter 4, where our text this morning is chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, where this is part of the new man, isn't it? This is part of the being a new creation in Christ. Not only are we to live holy lives, but it says here in verses 2 to 4, Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to come to your word and to study it, to be with your people, to be reminded and exhorted and encouraged to continually be in the word, to be in prayer, to be in fellowship, to be in obedience, to walk by faith and not by sight, to continually walk in your love. And Father, we pray that you would encourage every soul that is here. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just build in us new resolve to walk with you, to draw near to you, Father. Lord, I ask for grace this morning. I thank you for everyone who is here. And I ask, dear Father, that you would speak, just as we sung this beautiful song, speak, O Lord, we pray. And all these things we beseech you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of my favorite subjects, and you know, I used to pray as a little boy all the time, but I think it wasn't until we moved to Las Vegas in 1973, I was 10 years old, and the Lord had my parents move. I remember my parents told me we might move to Las Vegas, and I prayed, Lord, don't let us move to Las Vegas. And the Lord said, he said no, and we moved to Las Vegas, and I was very lonely, and my parents went to work, my siblings went to school, I went to school late, and I missed my grandparents so much because we used to have devotionals with my grandparents, my brother and I, right before school, and I missed them so much, and I just began to pray, and I began to read the Psalms. At 10 years old, I was crying out to the Lord and asking for comfort and for strength. And I really received that when I read the Psalms. And so I'm so convinced on prayer. And I believe that we just don't pray enough. What do you think? We just don't pray enough. And I think I think we're missing out when we're not praying. I think we're missing out, first of all, the opportunity is spending time with the Lord, drawing near to Him and being fully dependent upon Him and humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. I really think we're missing out in the blessings and seeing the God working in our lives. And I think that when we don't pray, we miss out in a lot of that. And so we see here that Paul is encouraging the new man, those who are born again. They need to spend time in prayer, not just spend time, but to be completely devoted to prayer. You and I need to understand that next to the Word of God and learning theology that changes our life, the next thing that's going to transform your life is prayer. The Word of God says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. I truly think that the reason we don't have the peace and the joy that we need to have is because we're not being people of prayer. We need to pour out our heart. We need to share our greatest dreams with the Lord, our deepest sorrows. We need to share everything with God. You know why? Because He can do something about it. You can talk to me about it or your spouse about it, but we can't change anything. The Lord can. And so, beloved, I encourage you to be a man or a woman of prayer and to be devoted to it. And so this morning, we see the Apostle Paul sharing with us, what does a new life look like? First of all, we see that he tells us we're to keep our mind on things above, and that's part of it, right? When you're talking to the Lord, you're keeping your mind on things above. And then he talks about how we're to put away certain things like wrath and anger and malice and slander and abusive speech and lying. And so we are to live a new life of humility and gentleness and kindness and patience and holiness. And so we see that we're to live this new life, and even in the family, where wives are to subject yourself to your husbands. Husbands, you're to love your wives and your children. And we talked about that, and then we talked last week about authority, how we are to submit to authority. And so this morning, we see the Apostle Paul talking to us about prayer. We can't do this in our own strength. We can't. And the verse that always comes to my mind is what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Remember what that says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, how do we receive the strength? We've got to be in prayer, seeking God. So this morning, I want us to look at verse 2 here. We're just going to look at verses 2, 3, and 4. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get out of verse 2, but we're going to try. And we do have the Lord's table here in front of us, so we want to make sure that we have enough time for that. And the title here is The Priority of Prayer. And I'm hoping that this will just cause you to pray, hopefully, a little bit more. And here it says, Paul says to them, and this is a command, by the way, present active indicative, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. There are three things right there. That right there could have been the sermon. Number one, we are to continuously be devoting ourselves to prayer. It's a perseverance in prayer, committed to prayer. You know, prayer should be like breathing oxygen to us. If you are a true Christian, you should be praying all day long, not only taking time to go into your closet or going behind closed doors, but praying all day long, talking to the Lord. Devoted to prayer. What else? Keeping alert. Keeping alert with what? Well, we know that around us, we have the flesh, which is weak. We have the evil one, which would tempt us. And we have the world. We have to be always alert and be in prayer and watch out when it comes to our weaknesses. And then finally, when it comes to prayer, always with the attitude of thanksgiving. First of all, that you're a child of God and that your name is written in heaven. And so we see here over and over again. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see the same word of devotion. Same exact word, Acts chapter 1, and then we'll look at chapter 2, and then we'll look at chapter 6. Acts chapter 1, I want you to see this. And this is the same meaning here in Acts 1, verse 14. Remember this, Jesus ascended on high, he's at the right hand of the Father. And he told his disciples and those who were there, 120 of them, besides the 11. Look at verse 12, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. That's where Jesus ascended, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. These all, listen to this, with one mind, what were they doing? Were continually, what? Devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. This is what Paul is calling us to do, beloved. We should be praying all the time, not only in church, but at home. And if you're at work and you're on break, maybe you should go into your car by yourself and start praying there. Of course, it gets a little hot here in the desert, but put on the air conditioner. I remember when I was in college, I just loved to spend time in prayer, and I had like an hour or two between classes. I'd go to the library in one of those cubicles. You remember those? They probably still have them. And I'd just put my head down, and I'd just start praying. And you'd have a big old red mark at my forehead at the end of that. But that was just some awesome time of prayer that I had. I remember a job I used to have. I used to work for a friend of mine, Steve Pia, Mark's dad, who's with the Lord now. He had his own chemistry office, and I used to be there, and I used to do custodial things there, and I didn't know anything about chemistry. I just helped clean up and wash dishes, and I would have some time, and I'd go into the offices, and they had these wonderful, beautiful office chairs that were so comfortable. And you know what I did there? I went there and said, I have time now. I'm going to start praying for my church. And I would just pray there and have some wonderful times with the Lord. Beloved, you are missing out if you're not spending time with the Lord. And so many people need prayer. I mean, just think of your family members. You can just think of your friends and family members who need prayer all the time. And can you imagine if you're praying consistently for them, how blessed they will be? But you know what? You're going to be the one blessed. You're going to be the one blessed. And you have to understand that when we intercede for others, this is so Christ-like, isn't it? Because Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's praying for us in heaven. And when we're praying for others and other saints, we're bringing them before the throne of God. And you know what? We are so blessed to do that. And we're blessing others. Beloved, we are missing out in true blessing when we're not in prayer. We are. We're missing out in joy. We're missing out in being in the presence of God. And so we need to spend more time in prayer and rejoice and tell God how much we love him and rejoice in prayer and also with thanksgiving. So look at Acts, since you're in Acts 1, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. This is after Peter shared the gospel. 3,000 souls came to Christ, and the church started instantly, didn't it? I mean, they had 120 people there in prayer. Now it went from 3,120 people. And what happened? It says in verse 42, so then those who had received this word and were baptized that day, there was added about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine what an instant church and all these people need to be discipled? Wow. Look at verse 42. What did they do, by the way? They were continually, and there's that word again, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is a word of God, by the way, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What's the church supposed to be doing? Right here. We're to be in the Word of God. That's what the apostles were teaching. Before the Gospels were even written, they were spoken verbally. Just like back in the Old Testament. Moses finally penned the five books of Moses, but all that was all given and passed on verbally. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's what we should be doing. So if you're not devoting yourselves to the Word of God, to fellowship. Breaking of bread, they believe that could be communion, but remember that communion was actually a meal. So we could do that. And to prayer. We should be doing these things. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. You are going to be super blessed. And this means continuously persevering in this, not giving into this. And how long should we be doing this? Until we're with the Lord. Okay? We don't stop. If you have the worst day of your life, or maybe the worst time of your life, and you're having a horrible time, and you get so discouraged, you know what people do? They stop coming to church. They stop praying. They stop fellowshipping. You know what? That's the very opposite of what you should do. When you're having the worst time of your life, you should keep studying the Word. Keep in the Word. Start reading the Psalms. Stay in fellowship. Stay in prayer. Keep coming here. Keep fellowshipping. You know what's going to happen? God's going to heal your heart. Going to heal you. Otherwise, you're not going to heal. It's amazing when people think, oh, you know, they stay away. No. Go. Pray with somebody. Go to somebody you can trust that can pray for you and with you. You know what's going to happen? God's going to heal you. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. Well, we'll read 1 through 4. This shows priority that the apostles had during the early church. Remember this? Acts chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Now at that time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews." These are Jews that were brought up in the custom of the Greek, the Grecian type of language and customs, but they were Jews. So they were the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So certain widows that spoke probably Greek versus the other ones who spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, they were being neglected. And so there needed to be some type of oversight over the distribution to the widows. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect what? The word of God in order to serve tables." Can you imagine if I no longer was studying the word of God to preach to you every Sunday and Wednesday and Friday and Sunday night, and instead I was busy, I don't know, probably doing yard work, doing everything else, but the word of God is being neglected? Can't do that. And so the apostles are speaking to the congregation. As you know, by this time, the congregation has even doubled, even tripled. And they're talking to the congregation, and they're saying, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you," listen to this, these are the first deacons, by the way, "seven men of what? Good reputation," what else? "Full of the Spirit," what else? "And of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." Now here's a priority. "But we will devote ourselves," there's that word again, "we will devote ourselves to" what? "Prayer and to the ministry of the word." You see, this is what elders are to be devoted to prayer and to the word. Because there's so much studying to take place and there's so many people to pray for. And so when it comes to doing physical work, can we do it? Sure. Can we do the physical work? Sure we can. But you know what? Something's going to be neglected. Prayer is going to be neglected. Studying of the word is going to be neglected. And so the priority there is the word of God and the ministry of the word. That's the priority. And if that's our priority, guess what your priority should be? It should be prayer. I don't know about you, but you should be going to bed praying. And when you wake up, you should be praying. You understand that? Sometimes I'm half awake and half asleep and I'm praying. When something is heavy on my heart, and you guys know this, when something is heavy on my heart, I go to bed and I'm praying. And you know what? Even when I'm asleep and half awake and I'm thinking about that issue, I'm praying. You know, before I go to, when I'm in bed, before I come to preach to you, guess what I'm doing? I'm praying. That God would speak to his people. That God would speak to every heart. That people will receive his word. And that people's lives will be transformed. Even while I'm half asleep and half awake. I'm in prayer. And so, beloved, we are to be praying. And you know this. Without ceasing. Now, and some of you probably know this. We have a new word in our family called slaying. Slaying. And sometimes when some of us are having our devotions and we start praying, we fall asleep. So sleep and praying, we call it, oh, they're slaying. Because like, they're praying a long time. Yeah, they're slaying. And we have that sometimes, and it's... you wake up kind of, I'm sorry, Lord, I fell asleep. So, you know, what I've done that's helped me, I would stand on my feet and I would pray. And so if you fall down, that's on you. That maybe you got to hold on to something. But it helps me. It helps me. And let me just encourage you, don't give God your leftovers. Give him your best time. Amen. Give him your best time. And for some of you, it might be, you know, for me, it's when I'm wide awake. Now, when it's really early in the morning, I'm not a real early in the morning type of person, but I would do that. But that's when I would fall asleep. So wait till you're fully awake. And go with me to Matthew 26. I want you to see this. The Lord Jesus, he's in the garden. And this is so vital when it comes to prayer, that you and I, not only are we to be praying for ourselves, for our families, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but how much more should we be praying when there's a crisis? Isn't that amazing how when there is a crisis that we're praying 3, 4, 5 times a day? I mean, have you found yourself doing that? When there's something going on in your life you're praying constantly, you're just begging God and talking to God. And so my question is, why do we have to wait for a crisis? Why? We shouldn't wait for a crisis. We should be praying like that all the time. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not always upset like that all the time. Well, why do you have to be? Why can't you talk to God all the time like that? Praying 3 times a day. And, you know, like Daniel did. Daniel literally prayed 3 times a day. He'd go to his room, open the windows towards Jerusalem, and he'd pray 3 times a day. That's what got him in trouble, remember? For his devotion to the Lord. They knew that this man was consistent, so devoted and so consistent that that's what they used against him. And that's what got him thrown into the lion's den. And even there he prayed and the lions didn't eat him. Let me tell you something. That's a rare occasion when you look at the scripture and you look at his friends who were not burned. Daniel was not eaten. 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time, you're going to be eaten and you're going to be burned, okay? So understand there's going to be a price to pay. Matthew chapter 26, and it says here, as the Lord Jesus, let's go into the garden. Let's start here in verse 36. Just a little context here. So we see our Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the garden. And as you know, he is being tested, isn't he? How do we know he's being tested? Because he's praying to the Father. And he says, Father, is there any way this cup can pass from me? You see, there's a human side of Christ. Christ was fully man and fully God, yet he had no sin. But there was constant struggle, wasn't there? And then he says here in verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go there and pray. His heart was so heavy, so heavy. And beloved, my heart's desire is that when your heart is heavy, that you learn to cry out to the Lord. I mean, I can't even imagine people who do not know the Lord, what they do. They must go insane. But we have a sovereign God who's on the throne, and he makes the final decisions on all things, and we can go to him and say, Abba, Daddy, and we can cry out to him, and he hears us, and he loves us, and he comforts us. And I can't even imagine being without the Lord. And here is our Lord Jesus Christ even doing this. And he tells the disciples as they go to the garden to sit here. He says, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. All he wanted was a little companionship as he was praying. He wanted them to be there praying with him. But they fell asleep. And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face. Sometimes you and I need to do that. Have you ever been so burdened or maybe so broken? I think we need to go on our face before our holy, righteous God. What is that saying? It's a statement, isn't it? It's saying to God how much you need him. You see, what prayer does is it makes you, it's an act of submission. It's an act of utterly dependence on God. It's a communication between a little child and his father or her father. And you see how prayer transforms us? That's what it does. And so we see our Lord Jesus. He's so heavily burdened. And he went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and was praying. And it's amazing how God gives us a window of insight into his prayer. And what does he say? He says, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. You see, there's a struggle. There's a struggle. Jesus, all of his life, has been in complete submission, synchronized with the Father. He says, I don't do my own will. I do the will of the Father. And maybe if you're for the first time, he's like, oh, this is so hard. And he's asking the fathers any way he can bypass this, and yet he knows the answer already. And he says, yet not as I will, but as you will. Look at verse 40. Our poor Lord, he couldn't get a break. And he came to the disciples, and he found them praying. Is that what was happening? Yeah, that's kind of the slaying we're talking about there. They were sleeping, and Jesus is hurt with them. I think of all the words he shared with them that he was departing. You know that part of depression causes a person to sleep a lot? I think that they were like so, it was late at night. The news that he was departing from them was heavy news. And it says he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Now, this is a key verse here. Look at verse 41. When it comes to temptation, what should we be doing? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. One of the reasons why, beloved, we need to be in prayer and constant watch is because our flesh is weak and we're weak to temptation. But let me guarantee you, when you're in prayer and you're drawing near to the Lord, you know what happens to temptation? It bounces off of you. When you're strong in prayer and you're in the Word and you're talking to God and you're having this wonderful fellowship with the Lord and you're being strengthened by the Lord, you know what happens to temptation? It dissolves. Because you're spending time in the holy presence of the living God. And temptation isn't there. And your thoughts are focused on the Lord. Because remember where temptation begins, it begins in our mind. And so that's what prayer does. It helps us. We got to keep watch. When temptation, I mentioned this so many times, when temptation comes knocking at the door, we go to the Lord in prayer. We ask the Lord for grace. And so we see that with the disciples, Jesus tells them to keep watching, keep praying. Look at verse 42. And he went away again a second time and prayed. And again, we get insight, don't we? And what did he say this time? My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. There's resolve now. Isn't that amazing? There's resolve now. Okay, Lord. Okay, Father, I'm willing to take this. You know, it reminds me a lot of Hannah. When Hannah went to the temple, she was so distressed and upset because Peninnah would constantly stab her with words and would ridicule her. And she went to the temple because she was barren and she wanted a child. And she went to the temple and she poured out her heart to God. And it says that at the end of her prayer, the Bible says that her face was no longer sad. Her face was no longer sad. What happened? How is it that she went from being so brokenhearted and so heavy-hearted, and she went to God in prayer, and she poured out her heart to God, and her face was no longer sad? What happened? The Lord strengthened her. The Lord strengthened her. Through her time in prayer, her going into the presence of God. Beloved, when we're not praying, we're not being strengthened as we ought to be. We're not being transformed as the Word of God wants us to be. Now, it's good we study the Word, but we got to be in prayer and spend time in the presence of God. You're missing out. And so you want your life to change. You know where it begins? Prayer. Everything. Think about anything in your life. Anything. You're thinking about marriage. You're thinking about a job. Start with prayer. Start with prayer, crying out to God, pouring your heart out to the Lord. Have you learned to share your dreams with God? Have you learned to share your disappointments and your hurts with God? I have. I share everything with God. There are no secrets. God sees it all anyways. I share my sins I struggle with. I share everything with God because God sees, He hears, He knows, and He loves me. He loves me. And so He can do something about it. But we miss out. And I want you to understand, you're missing out when you're not in prayer. And you know what? It's sweet to pray with other brothers and sisters. Find a good brother or sister that you know loves the Lord and will pray with you. That is so helpful. Look at verse 43, Matthew 26. Again, He came and He found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and He left them again, and He went away. Again, third time. And He prayed a third time. And what did He say? What does it say, verse 44? Saying the same things once more. You know, it shows you that prayer doesn't have to be fancy. Jesus is pouring out His heart. He didn't have any new words. So here He is coming to the Father. Sometimes, to be honest, sometimes I can't even find the words. That's what I love about music. Music is able to put in words things that you're feeling, right? I've even told people, you know what? Sometimes they're like, I don't know what to say or pray. And I said, do you know how to write a letter? Why don't you write a letter to God? I've done that, where I just feel like I don't have the words, and I just begin to write, Dear Lord, and then I begin to share my heart with the Lord. And after that, I throw it away. I don't want anybody to see it. It's none of their business. But we have to communicate to the Lord, because we're not being blessed as we ought to be blessed. And I want you to be blessed. I want you to have such an intimate walk with God. Unfortunately, that's one of the reasons God allows trials in our lives, isn't it? Did you know here, we learned through the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is still learning obedience? Go with me to Hebrews, would you? I don't have that in my notes, but Hebrews chapter 5. This is amazing. How is it Jesus, being fully God and fully man, He was still learning? He is still learning. If Jesus had to learn, wow, I'm in trouble, right? Big trouble. But this gives me comfort as well. He is fully man. And in his humanity, he was still learning, just like as he was growing. I believe this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both what? Prayers and supplications with some, what? Loud crying. You know, I don't think we should be crying to people. It's okay if we do that, but I think we want to cry to the one that hears us and can do something. Here is Jesus. This is God in the flesh, and he's crying loudly. It says both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. He's holy. Although he was a son. See this? What did he learn? Obedience from the things which he suffered. Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus was learning obedience even there? That blows my mind. And I'm thinking, wow. That's why, beloved, we're going to be learning probably to the last hour of our life, right? We're going to be learning. And we need to be learning. And so you see, if the Lord Jesus needed to cry out, if the Lord Jesus needed to offer up prayers and supplications with loud crying, how much more do we? And you know, you'll learn as you mature and you grow in the Lord, many times your prayers are not for yourself as much as for others. Because you become broken for others. You begin to see the effects of sin in others, and you begin to be broken for them. And so that's what happens. You begin to have more of a shepherd or shepherdess's heart. You begin to pray for them. And that's a wonderful thing. When someone says, Pastor, I'm praying for you, and I know they're sincere, you know what? That's the most blessed thing I can hear. Because what are you doing when you're praying for somebody? You're coming before the throne of grace. You're coming before Almighty God in the most holy place, before God, and now you're bringing your friend. And say, this is my friend. Lord, would you consider my friend? Will you have mercy on my friend? Will you save my friend? You're bringing them before the throne of grace in the most holy place. And when someone tells me they're praying for me, it's like, oh, wow, thank you. That's a blessing. That is such a blessing. Because you're bringing me before the throne of grace. You're bringing me into the most holy place. And I'm so grateful for that. That's the most loving thing, I think. One of the most loving things you could ever do. They may not know it. They may not see it. But you know what? God sees. He knows. I guarantee you, before you were saved, somebody was praying for you. Before you were saved, someone was bringing you into the throne room. Someone was bringing you before Almighty God into the most holy place and asked God to consider you for salvation. Somebody was bringing you there. And now you're saved. How much more do we need to do that with other people? So let me ask you, what are you continually devoted to? Is it your job? Is it to children? Is it to money? What are you continually devoted to? Why not be continually devoted to prayer? Why not? That's, I think, important. The Word of God says, as I shared with you before, go with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You guys already know where I'm going. But I want you to see that there are three things in that verse. Number one was be devoted to prayer. What was the second thing? Be alert, right? And the third thing? With thanksgiving. Those three things are really important. Let's look at the one with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is so important. And it says this, 5:17. I mean, you see here, Paul is giving some final exhortations. This is what you call a staccato, a rapid fire of imperatives. You see this, right? He starts here. You see it from the very beginning, verse 12, and he tells them to admonish unruly brother. Verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And then he gets even shorter. Verse 16, rejoice always. By the way, that's a command. If you're not rejoicing, you're not obeying the word of God. I mean, think about that. That's pretty serious, isn't it? I'm not rejoicing right now. Well, you know what? You need to rejoice. But pastor, you don't understand the horrible thing. The Bible says rejoice. How can you rejoice? Your name's written in heaven. Christ is on the throne. You can rejoice in your salvation. Paul says rejoice. That's a command. Here's another command. Pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean that we go there. You know, we always do this, right? Go there, close your eyes, bow your head. Now, don't do that while you're driving. Right? So, but we can always be praying. This is an attitude. This is a heart attitude. You're always a woman and a man of prayer. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you drive and you've done this, right? You've driven and you're driving by a terrible accident. You just start be praying. Lord, please help those people. Please bring salvation to them. You're always praying. You're always in communication with God. When you're always living your life in the presence of God, you don't have time for nonsense. That's what it means to be godly, beloved. You're always living your life in the presence of God. And that's what prayer does. It's practicing the presence of God wherever you are. Driving, at home, walking, whatever you're doing, you're always practicing His presence and submission. And so we learn here then, we are to be praying without ceasing, always in prayer, always talking to God, but always doing this. Look at verse 18. And the first two words, really the second word, is sometimes very hard for us. It says, in everything give thanks. You mean even the bad things? Well, what does it say? Do you realize? Well, let's read this. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Even the bad things, even the horrible things, what does it say? Do you understand, beloved, that if you're not giving thanks for everything, you're out of the will of God? Do you understand that? You might say, well, pastor, I could never give thanks for this. Or you might say, I could never forgive that person. Well, friend, you need to obey God. You need to forgive. You need to let things go. You have to. Otherwise, you know what? You're in bondage. You're in bondage. And so here, we got to give thanks for everything. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers? What you did, you guys meant that for evil. You're trying to kill me. Then you sold me to slavery. But God, what? God meant it for good. The only way you can do this is if you believe Romans 8:28. You understand? The only way you can give thanks is that you believe that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him. That's the only way. This is for the redeemed, isn't it? This is for the redeemed. And so it can be the worst thing that can happen, right? The worst thing that can happen, and yet God is still on the throne. Could God have stopped that from happening? Yes, but He didn't. Somehow God, in His wisdom and His knowledge and His sovereignty, did not stop that, and He knew that He was going to allow this for your good. It's hard for us to comprehend that. You know, our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways greater than our ways. It comes down to trust, doesn't it? It comes down to believing what God says. And in this, in everything, we can give thanks. So when we pray, we need to give thanks. Even though what has happened to us has torn our heart to pieces. And I know Joseph was a man with a broken heart, trust me. He loved his brothers, and they just tore his heart in half. And God was able to heal it because he was able to see this was God's hand. I hope you can see things that way. Because for those who are redeemed, that is the truth. For those who are not saved, it says all things work together for those who love God. Those who don't love God, all things are not working together for their good. They're not. Okay? So that is only for the redeemed. So this is how you and I can forgive. This is how you and I can put our past to rest. God has caused all things to work together, and we're to pray without ceasing. One of the ways that God has healed my heart is to pray for the one that hurt me. I pray for them. Every time I feel the sting of their evil, every time I feel the pain of what they did, I pray for them. That was how I battled it. As soon as I felt hurt, I just said, Lord, I'm praying for this person because you know what they did and how they hurt me. And I'm praying for them that they will be saved. I'm praying for them that they will repent. Because I know if they truly repent and are saved, they will be sorry and be right with you. And so I pray for them. And that's your cue. Every time you feel the pain, every time you feel the stab in your heart, you pray. That's your cue to pray for them. And for God to heal your heart. And he will. He will. So, beloved, do you see how much we're missing out by not praying? God will heal your heart. You need to spend that time in his presence. Not only that, it's a spiritual battle. Go with me to 1 Peter. And you guys already know where I'm going there. In 1 Peter. We're in a battle. You may not think you're in a battle, but you are. And first of all, it's a battle for your mind. So when you start focusing on entertainment and everything else, you know what's going to happen? Satan's going to get in there. What you're filling your mind with and your heart. And so we see here in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says here in verse 5, starting there, you younger men. Why does it say younger men? Because younger, you know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child and even young men, right? Young men, young women, young people. I don't know about you, but when I was a young man, I was not thinking always maturely, right? I told you how I thought as a teenager. Whenever someone invited me to do something, there's two things I look for. Number one, was it fun? Is it going to be fun? Then I don't want to do that. Or was there a pretty girl there? Okay, I'll go. There's a pretty girl and it's fun? All right. But if there's no pretty girl and there's no fun, I don't want to do it. Was that Christ-centered? No, that was self-centered. See? Young people are so foolish, that's all they think. Because they have, really, they're not following God. And so he's talking to the younger people. And you see there's pride and there's foolishness. He says, younger men, likewise, subject yourselves to your elders. Guess what? They were young once. They know what it's like. And some of them want to beat the foolishness out of you, but they can't, right? You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. What does that look like? You put others first. Put yourself third. Right? Clothe yourselves with humility. It's a conscious decision. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud. You want God to not hear your prayers? You want God to resist you? Be a proud person. Because a proud person is a self-centered person. Not only that, the word there, the actual translation is vain glory. That's what pride is. It's vainglory. Satan was proud. Lucifer was proud. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I need God's grace. Therefore, humble yourselves. I remember reading this verse. This verse right here will change your life. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. See, the world says you need to exalt yourself. You need to be assertive. You need to go for it. When the Bible says, no, you humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, submit yourself to him, and he will exalt you. You don't exalt yourself. When you exalt yourself, then you're a God unto yourself. You exalt Christ. You exalt Christ. And you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let God exalt you. That's the byproduct, beloved. As we worship God and draw near to God and in his presence and humble ourselves. Prayer is a way of humbling ourselves, isn't it? When I go to God in prayer, I'm like a little baby boy. I'm like a little 1.5-year-old baby boy. And I jump on my daddy's lap and I cry to him. And I hold on to him. And he comforts me and he strengthens me. I'm like a little baby. And you think Jesus had loud crying, I have loud crying to the Lord. And so I want you to understand this. What is that? I'm humbling myself before God. Because I need his grace. I need his strength. I need my daddy. And that's what I do. I've learned to do that. Have you learned to do that? Oh, you're missing out. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. What else? While you're doing that, while you're coming to God in prayer, casting all your anxiety or cares on him. Have you learned to do that? Have you learned to cry out to God? Have you learned to pour out your heart to God? Casting all your anxieties, all your cares on him. And why do we do this? Because he cares for you. You might say, sometimes I don't feel like God cares for me. Well, first of all, don't go by emotions. What do we go by? The cross. The cross. There's that old saying, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And then he died. Right? If you ever wonder, does God love me? Look at the cross. Look at our Lord Jesus dying on the cross. Look at the nails in his hands. Look at his side being stabbed. Look at him crying out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Look at the cross. And at the cross, you see the love of God. You see the love of God by our Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, dying for us. You see our Lord receiving the wrath of God upon himself. You see the justice of God being served for us on our part. Do I ever wonder if God loves me? No, I look at the cross. And I know God loves me. I don't deserve, I should have been the one dying and forever spending eternity in hell. I look at the cross. So we cry out to the Lord. We cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He cares for you. You have to believe that. And let me tell you, when I pray and I see answered prayer, I'm like, wow, God loves me. He heard my prayer. I mean, that is exhilarating. I don't know about you, but my faith goes up. When I pray and I'm praying for this person or praying for a situation and I see the Lord intervene, I see the Lord change their heart, I see the Lord change the circumstances, I'm like, wow. God heard this man who's made of dust. God heard my prayer. That is mind-boggling. Almighty God. Has God heard your prayer? I think you being here is an answer to prayer. I do. I believe you being saved is an answer to prayer. And we don't give up. Now remember that prayer is also a spiritual battle, isn't it? Verse 8, be sober, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. You can't be naive Christians. You can't just walk along thinking everything is just copacetic, right? Walk along, everything's just great. No, friend. Somebody wants to steal and to kill you. Somebody wants to hurt you. And so you have to understand that, and he wants to hurt you, he wants to hurt your family, he wants to hurt your children, he wants to hurt your church, he wants to hurt you, and he uses people. Okay? It's not like Satan's going to appear to you and say, hi, I'm Satan, I want to hurt you. It comes in different ways. So, be sober spirit, be on the alert. There it is again. Be watching. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You ever watch National Geographic, the lions? Many times, the one that gets eaten first will be a weak gazelle that separates himself from the rest of the pack. That little gazelle decides to go out in the grassy fields. Well, that's where the lions are at. That's why you want to be with the pack all the time. Because right away, you know, the lion comes, oh, they're taking off, you know. But if you go off by yourself, that's why you get to be in church, beloved, in fellowship. Have you ever noticed this? That, and we talked about temptation on I believe it was last Sunday night. Usually we're tempted when we're by ourselves. But somehow, when you're with other brothers and sisters in Christ, you're stronger. Because you're with them. And you know, if you thought this or you did this, that would be, you know, they're like, brother, sister, what's wrong with you? You know, so you know there's accountability there. And so temptation is when you're by yourself. And so we see the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Trust me, you go off by yourself and he's going to be there too. Verse 9, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. In other words, don't think, oh, I'm so special. You don't understand my temptations, Pastor. They're just unique and special. Guess what? They're not. They're not. Everybody else goes through this. Unfortunately, we all have to suffer. Look at verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, your whole life. That's a little while. I mean, compared to eternity, right? The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. We all are going to suffer to a certain extent. Others even more. But you know what? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. So let me ask yourself, will you commit yourself to prayer? Do you understand how much blessing you're missing out in? When you should be in the presence of God day and night, crying to the Lord, talking to the Lord. I'd encourage you to take, you know, maybe take one person at a time, maybe one family member that's hurting, and just start praying for that family member all day long, and may take another family member or maybe a friend or maybe someone from church and just pray for that person all day long. You know what's going to happen? Power. Power. God's gonna bless. He's gonna hear. And I think that we're just missing out, beloved. And remember that we're practicing the presence of God all day long.